My name's Sam, I'm an addict. I couldn't help but to think about on this ride up here. You know that ride where we used to take that long ride to get what we were promised, some good shit this time, you know? But it always would end up in like someone's trailer in the back room, and they'll be back shortly. And then he gets there and you're like, I'm getting what? You told me out. Well, so today you're getting what? Because my sponsor was supposed to speak today and he couldn't make it. So you're all getting what today?
That ain't right.
I grew up in Charleroi. I have a twin sister, two stepbrothers, half brother, stepmom, stepdad. And I was raised by my grandparents. Anybody can relate to that. A lot of, I don't want to say dysfunction. I mean, I was raised with love. I just didn't have really rules or boundaries. It just, as long as I come in at night, you know, the street light was the rule, but as long as I made it in before my dad got home, that was pretty much, you know. And it started off, I remember hanging out with the good kids, you know, on the block. There was like two or three kids I used to hang with, and they had their parents together and they'd have all the toys and, you know, the sandbox. And I remember going to the candy store, getting like Boston baked beans and like Swedish fish for a dollar, loading that bag up. And then like shortly after that, a couple years later, that just didn't intrigue me anymore. I ended up hanging out with the kids on the lower block, the older kids. So that same candy store we started stealing from, I started buying Bic lighters and Marlboro Reds and Zigzags. That's how it like progressed for me. I think I started with fantasy before I started with any kind of drugs. I remember my grandmother reading this magazine, right? And it was like this newspaper, but there was something hidden behind it. So I had to like, I was always curious, like, why is she hiding that? Like, what is she reading? Well, I like watched her put these books away, and I waited till she went to bed to investigate this. And I ended up finding like a big stack of nudie mags. It's like, whoa, you know? So I grabbed like a whole bunch of them and I like ran upstairs with them. And I must've been about 8 or 9. I sprawled them out on the floor, opened them up. I was like, whoa. I didn't know what to do with them. I just looked at them. I just knew they were naughty and you shouldn't be doing it, right? But I got off on that. And then, like, I don't know. I was like the kid that, like, looked for the Mr. Yuck stickers. You know what I mean? Like I started, like, smelling things and huffing things and getting off that way before I even did drugs. And I do remember that walk. You know that walk that like where we crossed the line? Like I remember that, man. I was in like 8th grade. And before that, like I grew up in pool halls and bingos. Like that's what I did. Like I learned how to smoke cigarettes at an early age. And I remember coming home and my grandma would always have like card night with the ladies, you know? And they would always bring candy over. And I just remember like telling my grand, like I was so proud to tell her, like I learned how to smoke cigarettes. And she threw a pack on the table. She's like, smoke then if you're gonna smoke. Smoke them up. So like, nothing like shocked her, you know, like Graham, nothing shocked her. But I remember this one time we was walking the industrial park going to this house party. There was about 4 or 5 of us. We got loaded before we even got there. See, that's how I do it. I like priming my pump before I go get partied up. You know, I'd start off with whatever. And then by the time I get there, I'm like already tuned up. But like how the night always ended for me was like some kind of blackout or vomit all over me. And I just thought like, man, maybe I should take it easy, you know? But I don't know how to take it easy. I don't have like this governor inside of me that knows how to take it easy. You know, you might as well just pour, it's like pouring it down a drain, you know? That's like how I do it. Like I have no off button. And like, you know, we partied in the woods, Friday night football games, we partied. I mean, I always thought these were like phases. Everybody's doing it, you know. You're not getting your stomach pumped, you're not having a good enough time, that kind of stuff, you know, house parties. I got arrested. My first time arrested, I think I was like in like 10th grade. My buddy got thrown in a cop car, and I ended up letting him out. This cop car, you know, he's in the projects. I was in the projects with him. And then the cop snagged me up and threw me in after he slammed me off the car. And I'm thinking, where the hell's nobody let me out? Like, that's. So I remember getting thrown in the drunk tank. That was like, those are my jail experiences. Like, I'm, you know, pretty lame. I went to a drunk tank. I got to hang out with Bubba in a drunk tank for a couple hours till my gram come and got me. I remember they come and got me, and the cops were eating these like chicken wings. And he's like, here, try one of these. And I dipped it in this like blue cheese, and I was like, man, that's pretty good. So what I learned after my incident in jail that night was blue cheese tasted good on wings. That was it. Not the fact that I shouldn't let people out of cop cars or anything like that, or maybe I should be drinking in the project. It was Wild Irish Rose and Mad Dog 2020. That was my drink. It was cheap, and you could drink a lot of it. And Cisco. I'm showing my age. So that was the second time I got arrested. I was just supposed to be smoking some dope in this back road, kind of like something like this, you know, up on this hill, and I got real paranoid, and I seen lights coming. I thought it was a cop, so I went running down over this hillside, and I thought I was like, I was so spaced out, I thought I was like on my back Industrial Park Road by my house. Wind up, I was on the toll road, 43, so I walk up, and they're like, can we help you? And I just like threw 50 cents right in the toll and just kept walking through, you know, and next, just wait right here, son. Next thing I know, state trooper picks me up. I'm like, don't call my dad here. My dad come pick me up, and man, how he found out I got in trouble was the first time he lost his license because we have the same name. My grandma's like, we won't tell your dad, you know, I'll never do it again. You know that lie. So like after that, I just thought it was a phase because like pretty soon I'm graduating high school, you know, I'm joining the Marine Corps, and like these things will somehow, something will change, a switch will happen, you know. I'm gonna go to Marines, I'm gonna become a man now, you know. All that did was make me crazy, crazier. I hooked up with a bunch of guys just as crazy as me, and it started off not getting high because there's rules, you're not supposed to get high. So we started like huffing Scotch Guard and VCR head cleaner and Dexatrim pills, and sooner or later I was like, hell with that shit. We just start getting high. And then, man, I got turned on to that crystal meth. This was like back in like 92, 93. I didn't know anything about that shit. I just figured you could just, you know, do the biggest rail you could fit up your nose. But man, I remember doing that shit, and I was puking my guts out for like 2 meth hours, it seemed like. And I couldn't wait to do it again, you know. I just figured maybe I just did too much that time. I just maybe cut it down a little bit. So I was like 200 pounds after deployment. I like after 9 months of my meth program, I got down to 145 pounds. I looking in the mirror, I'm like, yeah, I still got it, like my ribs. I thought it was my abs. I like was jaundiced, but I was like living in sunny California, so I figured, shit, that's my tan, you know. And then the funny thing about Danau, like I remember this last time, like I had some time clean. I got clean in 97 and I stuck around till 2012, and I basically stopped doing the basics, and I found myself back in active addiction. And I'd say 6 years of active addiction, the last 6 months is when it got the worst for me. I remember getting high with my son, and I was like, I'll never, because my kids grew up in Narcotics Anonymous. I take them to meetings all the time. They didn't know anything about me getting high or anything. Their dad, you know, and I'm just going to say this for me. There's three types of people that know me. The people that knew me when I was getting high, the people that knew me when I was getting high and clean, and the people that just know me as clean. Nothing I do or say is ever gonna change their mind about me. I just gotta realize that that's just, you know, because for the longest time I wasted a lot of energy trying to prove to people that I'm clean now, you know? Usually, you know, the behaviors can speak for themselves. So, So I remember this, I'm just gonna go right to the exact nature. I remember it was just supposed to be a Taco Tuesday, and we're just supposed to go have a couple tacos, some beers, and that's what it was. We did that, and I went back to my buddy's house. I start going off on this pen. He's like, oh man, take it easy. And that's like the wrong thing to say to me, take it easy, you know? Like you just, you know, take it easy on that thing. So I start going off on this thing like I'm smoking a Marlboro in the high school bathroom. I don't know what happened. I just, you know, the disease was telling me, well, it must be your allergies. You're just not feeling good, you know? And like, I knew something bad was about to happen. And I like turned around, put the water back in the fridge. And as I put my hands on the counter, I kind of felt like everything get closing in on me. And at that point, I seen myself fall backwards. And like, I was like looking at myself and I'm thinking, wow, what the hell, you know? And I don't know what the experience was. I just know I seen myself laying on the ground. My buddy tried resuscitating me. And how the hell does this happen? I'm smoking fucking weed. You know what I mean? Like, really? I must have stopped breathing, hit my head, something. I don't know. But I know when I woke up, the first thing that bothered me the most was how much panic he had in him. Like, I'm like, man, this dude ain't never going to invite me back. You know what I mean? I just ruined this buzz. You know, here he is like, he's like, oh my God, oh my God. You know, and I'm like, chill out, dude. He's like, I'm going to call an ambulance. I'm like, don't do that. Because I can't move anything. I feel like I'm paralyzed. I said, dude, I'm never going to work again. Don't call an ambulance. How am I going to pay for that shit? So I said, it'll work its way out. Trust me. Probably about 25, 30 minutes later, I start getting feeling back in my legs. I was able to sit back up. I said, where's the, give me that pen. He goes, don't you think you had enough? That's the thing, man. I never have enough, you know, like ever. Like unless I pass out or get thrown into like a drunk tank, like that's it. Like I don't have enough. Like I keep going and going and going until like my body can't take it no more. I just remember crying out to God, please God, don't let this be happening to me. I had this thing. You know, and like if you haven't relapsed yet, you don't have to. Right? But you see, at 15 years clean, I started getting complacent, you know? Because what could you tell me that I don't already know? You know? What? Half the people in this room don't even have fucking 5 years clean. So what am I going to learn from you? I got so arrogant, complacent, and condescending to people. And pretty soon, I just didn't fit in anymore. You know what I mean? And I stopped the basics, You know, I don't go to meetings. I mean, to see people, it is nice to see them, but I get that, that's where I get that feeling, that spirit fills me up, you know? I got the best home group. Man, I think about my home group all the time. It broke my heart. I missed it, and I was on vacation. But man, like, if your home group don't touch your heart like that, you better find a new one, you know? And if your sponsor don't touch you like that, like, my sponsor, man, is so badass. Like this time around, I knew like where I fell short. Like I'm a people pleaser. You know what I mean? People pleasing, codependent. That's what took me out. I remember getting a divorce, my first one. And I moved in this cottage. And I didn't know if I could be a single dad, you know? And try to like date women, you know? Cause I didn't know how to do that shit. I just, you know, like, you know, my reference was nudie mags and pornography, so how do you date? You know what I mean? Like, I just thought that's what they were into, you know? Like, the concept of what women really want isn't like 6 hours of long dicking. You know what I mean? Take them to a fucking movie or something, hold their hand, you know? I don't know. I didn't know any of this shit. I mean, what do you think we did on crystal meth? You know what I mean? Like, my perception of, oh man, this girl could do this. And, you know, like, that's the kind of women I was attracted to, you know? Definitely not a good mother. So, she was bipolar, you know? I just thought she was just jealous, you know, all the time. You know, if I'm not coming home and like, where the fuck were you? That's, you know, I need that confrontation, you know? Who you fucking? You know, I need to hear that when I come in the door, you know, like when you're on your phone and they're gazing, burning a hole through, like, I love women that don't trust me, you know? Obviously, because that's like, that's the sickness that, you know, that's just, so, So anyway. Mind you, these are all Earth girls too, so Earth girls are fucking crazy as two, you know what I mean? They just don't, they just not in addiction. Or don't have a program. I don't know what's worse. You just don't want to talk to me. Like, what's there to talk about? I'm a fixer. You're gonna talk to me about a problem, I'm gonna try to fix it, right? You know, don't tell me your toilet's leaking because I'll have the fucking floorboards lifted up trying to find a leak. You know what I mean? Don't say that. She's like, what do you mean? I'm not supposed to say nothing. No, just, I don't know. Maybe I got to change or something. You know, like when I hear my toilet's leaking, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, maybe I'll give you one of them. I don't know. I'm just like, so I get in this relationship and I know better. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm by myself. I need to learn how to be this single dad. And she was real good to my kids, man, but she drank. But she only does a little bit on the weekends, you know? I didn't see what she did during the week, just on the weekends. I assume she just, you know, she drank every day. I was like, you know what? It just, you know, it don't bother. See, I don't pay attention to red flags. They might as well be doing a checkered flag because, like, I mean, I just ignore it. I did. And she would say, hey, can you get me some... Go to a liquor store and get me some booze. Yeah, sure, I could go in there and get her booze. It's for her, right? So I did this for about 5 years, and this one night we had this house party, and it was like, I'll tell you what I was up against. It was like maybe 1 a.m, everybody was sleeping. I opened up that refrigerator. It was a full case of Miller Lite, ice cold. I've never been at a party where at the end of the night, there's still a case of beer left. I was like, I just cracked open two of them. I knew I was throwing away 15 years. I chugged them down. I was like, puked my guts out. I was like, man, that ain't that bad, you know? Following week, my wife had gone to Disney with my daughter. I drank the rest of them, all 22, playing like one of them video games or something. I was like, man, just piling them down, you know? I went from 2 to 22 in a week. I drank like that all the time for the next 6 years. And then, you know, like, you know, are you having another one? I used to hate that. Like, you know, are you having another one? Like, who counts your beers? You know what I mean? Like, why just leave me alone? Like, I work hard, you know? Like, I remember my first wife would tell me, we should stop doing drugs. I said, well, the baby's sleeping. You know, she's sleeping. The only one making noise is you. You know what I mean? She ain't gonna know, right? Well, I visited her down in Fort Lauderdale. She's 27 now, my youngest. My first child. And boy, she's nothing like me. She's witty like me, but man, she is so brave. Like, she moved from Pennsylvania down to Miami, put herself through master's degree in sociology. She like helps people like me and her mother. That's like what motivated her. So that's pretty badass. Then my son says to me, hey Dad, do you think I have a problem? I smoke dope every day. I said, that's not for me to say. You know what I mean? That's not for me to say you have a problem. Are you losing jobs because of it? No, you know, it's $160 a week. I said, oh, $160. You know, that's the hardest thing. Like, I just gotta let that one go. Let God take care of that one. I could be the example. I can't beat his ear. Nobody could beat my ear back in the day, you know? Like, I didn't want to hear that shit. I remember my biological mother, man, she'd bounce in and out of rehab when I was younger and write me letters, and because I didn't think rehab did anything. Like, here's my mother, it ain't working for her. You know, I just knew, like, if I did call rehab, maybe I'd take the heat off a little bit. And that was, like, my first attempt at trying to get clean. I, like, made a call, saved my job. Took the heat off a little bit. I remember them telling me, well, it don't sound like you're that bad, Sam. I said, exactly. I tried telling everybody I'm not a drug addict. And then I get in there, and there's like all these cats in this circle, and they're talking about their experiences. And I could relate to them, you know, but I still had my teeth. I still had my job. I still had, you know, I didn't have any felonies, you know, so I don't qualify according to the group, what they're saying, you know. But that's not what Narcotics Anonymous says at all. Like, if you don't have to go to the bitter ends and lose everything. I lost my mind. I lost my peace in my heart. And, you know, man, that's the hardest thing. The hardest thing is knowing this works and being so stuck you can't get back. The way back is just through the door, but it might as well have been invisible for me because I had no intention of coming back. It was just a phase. I got clean 24, started getting high 39. I stayed stuck for 6 years. I was only drinking, right? Blackout here and there. It's all right. Parked the car sideways in the driveway a few times. No big deal. My driveway. My neighbor says, come over here. Check this out. He has one of them, like, ring cameras. So I'm looking at him like, who's this guy walking around in the underwear in front of my house? He goes, that's you. So what? It's my neighborhood. Yeah. I had an answer for everybody. And then my neighbor moved in, this young kid, and I was just getting ready to get thrown out. I got divorced twice. So don't come to me with answers with relationships, because I can tell you what not to do. I can't tell you what to do. I might figure it out one day. So anyway, my neighbor's getting high next door, and I sneak on over there, and I'm starting to get high with him every night. Because I'm getting thrown out anyway, so fuck it. I don't care. And, I remember like him turning me on to this stuff, and like I told my son when I was getting high with him, don't throw the roach away. Don't throw away. So I give it to him, me and him. I hate sharing, but I trusted him. Like, that's my son. I could trust him. I said, what'd you do with that? He goes, I flucked it out the window. I said, what? What do you mean you flucked it out? I got down on his feet, flucked it that way. I'm crawling around in the grass. Might as well been crack. You know what I mean? I'm crawling around looking for like a wax roach. If anybody knows what that is, it's like a wax worm. The drugs today are real potent. You know what I mean? I just can't believe it took me to that level. And I was thinking, what if my daughter sees me? She's like 7 years old. If she's, what are you doing, Dad? Crawling around in the grass. I would tell her I'm looking for a four-leaf clover for her. That's what I'll tell her. You know what I mean? But I felt like so humiliated. So I get thrown out of that house, and I'm living with my mom again. Here I am. I don't even know how old. 46, living with moms again. I moved out when I was like 18. Here I am back again, doing the same shit I did. So if I'm doing the same things I did now, that's probably what I'm going to be doing when I'm 40, 50, if nothing changes. In my 60s, like, I'm going to retire. I'm not going to. No. What I'm doing today is probably a good example of what's going to happen to me in the next 10 years. You know, I know when I stick to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, start working a few steps, that I'm able to see some of these patterns I'm living. You know what I mean? For me, that first step was like, don't pick up no matter what. And like, if I'm about to make a decision, maybe pump the brakes, you know, and slow down. Don't rush into a decision. Then I pick up the phone on step two and call some people that might have gone through this situation, gather the information on step three, and make a decision on it and follow through. And I do those things. Like, I'm pretty confident that you guys could guide me here a little bit. And then, like, I had to write some things down in four. Now, this is my second time doing a four-step. I remember my first wife saying to me, you're going to want to divorce me when you get to the fourth step. I was like, I don't need to get to the goddamn fourth step. I know I want to divorce you now. But like, I stayed sick in that relationship because I'm codependent. I didn't know how to be a single father. I was scared, full of fear, you know. And I was raised by my grandparents. So like, if you knock a chick up, you got to marry them. You know what I mean? Like, no, you don't. You just got to be a father to the child. Because let me tell you, this chick, she'd have been the last one I picked. Believe me, she was the first one. She come knocking on my door. This is your daughter. She's 9 months old. Like, I'm 22 years old. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm not ready to be a dad. So my best effort to stop getting high was using every day. But when I made the call to Narcotics Anonymous, I had an uncle come pick me up. And he talked to me about what we do here. And I start going to meetings, getting involved, getting active. And I put together some time, but I got complacent, got high again. But man, I after that Taco Tuesday, that Wednesday, I ended up going to the bar again thinking, I'll just stay away from this and just do this. Well, like, I remember looking at this derelict I was getting high with. and thinking, man, like, this dude's like, this is gonna be me if I don't change, right? I still didn't know what to do. Next day, oh, actually, I went home that night. My mother was so pissed. I would borrow her car and go drinking every night. So I thought it was a good idea coming home. It was about maybe 1 in the morning, 12:30, 1 in the morning. She's waiting for me. I thought she was up reading a book, but she was waiting for me. She gave me that look. She was just, you know, that look mothers give their kids. She just pierced right through my heart. I said, you gonna say something? She goes, you know what to do. Man, that was Wednesday. Thursday, I walked into Narcotics Anonymous, picked up a white key tag. And I haven't looked back since. Thanks, Lance. I haven't looked back since. You know, like, I didn't have luxury of detox or rehab at the time. I mean, I could have went, but I was in management, and I was afraid to lose my job. And it's not like I had to really detox off anything, maybe a little bit of alcohol and, like, weed or whatever. God bless you. You know, I don't want you thinking I'm this, like, hardcore detoxer in this bed, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I had some sweats and whatever. But, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is that powerful that if you come in, do what's suggested, get a home group, get a sponsor, get active in service. I got active in service right away. I was involved with, I was helping out my sponsor with programming and Start to Live. And I got to know people, you know, at convention. They let me chair a meeting at convention. I thought that was like everything. I had no self-esteem, no self-worth. These people cheered me on. I felt like I lost an identity, you know what I mean? Like I was somebody at one time. No, I was just somebody that had some time clean and like I lost a clean date, big deal. It took me 9 months to really be okay with that. You know, I feel what I have now is more to offer than what I had then. I gotta learn how to stay clean just for today and remember that it's a day to time program, not clicking away 6 months a year. Hey, check me out, look what I got. Look how much my coin says. That shit didn't do nothing for me. It's the first one, you know. It's actually the relapse started before I even start picking up. You know, it's my attitude, my arrogance, and there's no reason not to have a positive attitude around here. There really isn't. Like, look how wonderful this place is, you know what I mean? Surrounded by earth people, you know, and G-strings. I just come back from Florida. You know, how much time I got?
However much. You're good.
Good?
Whatever.
Oh. Whenever.
About 55 minutes.
55. So, I don't know, I moved up here a year ago and full fear, you know, full fear. And like Nikki was one of the first ones I met, Brandon, the guys in the back, Nick and Kevin, and Gino, and Jason. I remember walking into their home groups, right? And feeling that there was something going on in here, you know, up here. Indiana's a great place to recover. I hear a lot of people talk turd about it, but obviously they're not working a program because if you was, you would know that this is one of the best areas there is. I've been in three areas, Wee area, Icana, and this one. And I've been involved in all three of them. And by far this one, man, there's some rock stars here, man. You know what I mean? Like Lance. He's like such a go-to guy, like if you just know, get to know him, like he's so full of knowledge and wealth, like man, like really? Like back home, like you don't see any old-timers come around, you know, like where the hell are they? They fucking hibernate? Because I know where I used to go, you know, and I remember, you know, when I met Nikki, like I've known Nikki for a year now, man, like the hope, you know, like to see how much growth that you have, like man. She got a pretty kick-ass home group too. And it starts early, 5:30 on a Wednesday. I can't always get there, but I try. But my home group Thursday, she's not even here. She's, oh, I can't wait to hear you, Sam. She's over there in the woods. Anyway, like if you're in Indiana and you want to check out a decent home group, you got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Stop at all three of them. You'll surely be able to hear something you like. You know, I'm going to thank the committee. And everybody that put this event together, please buy merchandise, throw some money in the bags. It's for a good cause. Because, hey, listen, because, like, my home group has about 45 people come to it. I'm the treasurer. I count the money in the basket. There's like 10 bucks. But everybody got a monster. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's drinking a monster. There's $10 in the basket. How about throw some money in the basket? You know what I mean? Yeah, I could talk turd, because I throw my money in. That's all I got. Thanks.
Food stamps are monsters.
All right. Mike, thanks, Sam, again for taking